Blog Talk Radio.
Causes my machine to slow down. That being said, let me let it catch up real quick, and so I can get on into the room where everybody's at. I want to share the website that I've been developing for the microgreen business and for Yesteron Farms, but this one is mainly geared around the microgreen business and selling and taking subscriptions. And so I'm going to share that this evening as well. And then we will start in on the bylaws, because we have a lot to do concerning them, and I want to make sure that we stay on track with that. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. As we go forth and do our statement of faith, and where it happened to the room? Where did it go? I know I didn't close it, but it may have closed down. So let me see if I can open it back up. Myself, open it up. Just a second. People probably wonder, where did he go? Okay. It still shows that I'm there. I don't know what's going on. All right, can I be heard? Shalom, Sister Denise, Sister Mary. Oh, let me turn on my speaker. One thing. All right, let me see if I can hear you now. Sister Mary, Sister Denise.
Sister Mary.
Yes, we're here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let me, Shalom, Sister Rachel. I'm going to mute you, though, because we get an echo when you're on that line.
Shalom.
All right. Shalom. Okay.
Okay.
Sister Lorraine is still working.
Working.
So we'll go ahead and proceed. She'll join us.
Join us.
As soon as she can. Brother
Miles.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
You breaking up, and you're in here twice.
Right, I'm trying to find out where this other. I had the room open already, I know.
No.
But when I went to start closing stuff down, I lost it. Maybe it's just
right here.
Hold on a second. As I said, my
machine
is closed because I got so many things going on. And I'll be able to find out where it's at. All right, so I should be in the room one time now.
Yes.
Okay, and you don't have an echo anymore?
No.
Okay, good. All right. All right, so we want to welcome everybody tonight. We have a lot to go over. Let us do our statement of faith and pray in. So I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in session, and we are going to do our statement of faith and pray in. As I was saying, Sister Lorraine is still working. She got a call at the last minute, let me know that she would be late. And so we will go ahead and proceed. We still have enough to conduct business. And Sister LaGracia will probably pop in a little later herself, and whoever calls on the Blog Talk phone. Let me open up that window. I can see when somebody comes in there, because a lot of times I have so many things open, people come in and then I don't see them. Okay. All right. So I can see that. I can see the phone lines. Okay. So let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 29. Let us hear the conclusion, while I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name, Father. We extol you. We extol you, O Yah Elohim. We extol you and we glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. I just want to thank you on this evening. Hallelujah. For you are so good. You are just so good. Y'all don't know. Well, I guess y'all might know. But y'all don't know. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. We will have Sister Mary. Do you have the minutes from last week?
Yes, I do, Brother Miles.
All right, my sister. Then if you will be so kind and gracious to read us the minutes from the last week.
Okay. Our last meeting was held in November the 10th, 2022. Time was 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Attending the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Rain, Sister Denise, and Sister Mary. The discussion for the meeting was the bylaws, the committees, and establishing the committee. Sister Lorraine has finished numbering the bylaws so that we can review them and it makes a little more sense. And we're going to try to finish reviewing them on the 23rd of this month.
We're trying to finish reviewing them by the 23rd.
Well, by the 23rd.
Yeah. It's a difference.
Okay. Brother Miles looked into another farmer's market. I didn't get the name of that one, but he said he met a lady that was going to help him to with the operation of the farmer's market. He brought the banners for the microgreens, and he set up this Sunday. He went out and he did the microgreens. He worked on the pricing of the microgreens. We looked at the product, the amount price, the price per ounce, and the cost of all of that. Okay, Brother Miles also got the labels to go on the, what do you call them, the clam shell. And on the label would consist of the name of the product, the date it was harvested, the price, and the instruction on using it per ounce. Brother Miles was also working on the website. We got a chance to look at some of that. And then we reviewed the bylaws after the numbering was changed. And we voted on them. We reviewed sections 1-3. Sections 1 is the name and the location. We voted on that. The ayes have it. The second section was mission and purpose. We voted on that. The ayes have it. Section 3 was membership fees. And you know, and we made changes on that, and the ayes had it on that one as well. I'm trying to say like you're going in. The amendment fee will be changed. Amendment fee may be changed from time to time. The board can change fees and no one else. We got to section 3, and we had made changes on that as well. That's control and operations, and the ayes have it. Section 3 of 3 is the membership menu, and it has an attached to it, an A to an F, and we the ayes had it on that one. We got down to section 3 or 4, and we voted on that, which is the board of directors. The ayes have it on that. We went to section 3 or 5 with the power of membership. The power of membership has restrictions to it. I couldn't totally get all what you were saying, but it's a restriction in section 3 of 5.
Yeah, we were going to restrict what the members could, because as the bylaws are written, the Yesteron Farms Community Co-op is member-ran, mm-hmm. but we want to make sure that there's some things that the membership itself cannot change. We don't want the root function of what this organization is about to be able to be changed in the future.
Okay. I got you. Thank you.
Okay.
And then we went to section 3 of 6, the referenda of membership. And did we vote on that? Yes, we voted on that. Changes were made in that as well. But we voted on the changes, and the ayes have it. So now we're down to section 4, board of directors, and 4 of 1.
Okay.
That's all I got, Brother Mike.
All right, amen. Make sure that as soon as you get back in town that you type those up.
Yes, I will.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to make a motion that we accept the minutes as they were read by Sister Mary. I don't have a copy of it. They won't be approved until she sends the type portion in, and then we will vote on them once we get the type copy. But I'm going to make a motion that we accept them right now as they were read. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right, now I'm looking for this document. And I meant not to close it because I've been having so much stuff open. Anyway, I'll find it so before it's time for us to, you know, get into it and share my screen. I'm going to share my screen right now. And my desktop is a mess, so don't nobody say anything. Let's see here. What am I sharing? Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to start with the website real quick. I finally start to understand the product that I bought to make this website from, and I still have some work to do, but this is where we're at now. But the goal is to get this up and running as soon as possible because while I'm out selling microgreens, I do want to be able to offer a subscription so that we can get reoccurring business. So I don't have to wait, you know, not just doing business just at the farmer's market, but a delivery service for microgreens. And that is a common business what's the word I'm looking for here? It's a common way of doing this type of business. And so, but I need to, you know, I'm going to have a sign-up sheet, but I want, you know, people to be able to go and shop for these online as well. And at the same time, if they want to start a subscription where they can, these will be delivered. And can you guys, well, can you guys see my screen? If you will pull up the screen sharing. And I see Sister Lorraine has joined us.
Yes, I can see your screen.
Okay, what screen are you looking at?
It looks like the Bible.
Does it look like the Bible? Okay.
Yes.
Because I got so much stuff open. Okay, so that should be the Bible. Let me drag this over here. So now you should be seeing the web page.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so, and as soon as I get a chance, I will be taking more personal pictures. And what I mean by that is, right now, this is the head, you know, this is the front end picture on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, but I will redo this picture once I'm able to I'll harvest probably first thing in the morning, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So I won't, you know, because what was happening with these greens, remember before I was telling you guys I was putting a lot of seeds on these trays,
mm-hmm.
and you seed them heavily. And, but what I was having this time was, like, let's say with the ones that I was having problems with were like the not the radish, but the mix, the salad mix, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a mixture of seeds like kale and cabbage and a couple of others. And they weren't growing the way that I thought that they should grow. Everything that I looked on the web, you know, they just didn't, they weren't getting that size. And so I was overseeding the trays. And so this time, you know, as I was doing the research, I found out that the smaller the seed, the less seed you use. Because, you know, those seeds will, they'll get into every little nook and cranny, and then they will starve each other out.
Mm.
Okay, and the bigger the seeds are, the more seeds you need to use. Okay, so I was doing it kind of, I was just blank carpeting these trays, period. So I, you know, I was looking, I've been keeping on top of this, and came down yesterday morning, and all of the salad mix was laying over. It was standing up the night before. But I came down that morning, and it was just laying over. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So I said, okay, let me look at this. Felt the dirt. The dirt was a little bit dry. So I just soaked the dirt, and they stood right back up. You know, so because I was thinking that I was not going to have a harvest of these greens, these particular types, because they had fell over. After I soaked it, you know, and I made sure the tray was empty so that the water had someplace to go. Because the worst, last thing you can do is overwater and have the water sitting there. Mm. Then that'll cause, you know, fungus and mold and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I dumped the trays, and then, and the problem is that these greens, these particular ones, they're small, and so they don't really get to grow all the way through the dirt. So they never reach the bottom water. And so, when I saw them laying over, I soaked it, and I said, you know, I'll come back later on this evening and see where they're at, and they had stood back up. And so I, you know, soaked them again, and they just start growing real fast. I will have a harvest of those, and I was only using those, as I said, for decorations. like a garnish on top of the main green. So I do have some sunflowers, some radish, some peas, sweet peas, and one more in this radish and this this salad mix. And so I have dialed it in, and I have like 8 trays of sunflower seeds now that are growing. And I was waiting on, I had to reorder some more peas because I ran out. And I ordered what they call that fennel-greek. Yeah, so I'm actually going to create a couple of trays of fennel-greek tonight and maybe 3 trays of it, maybe 4, just depends, and 4 trays of peas. So I can't do the peas until tomorrow because they have to soak. The peas have to soak for 12 hours before you plant them. But the broccoli is looking good. The radishes are looking good. The salad mix is looking good. The sweet peas are looking good. The sunflower seeds are looking good. Everything is growing the way it should. Especially once I learned that the more seeds I put in there, the more water I got to give. And that's what the problem was. I wasn't giving them enough water. And, you know, I was thinking that they were going to do like all the other seeds. They typically go through the dirt and grow through into the water that's at the bottom. It's like a tray of water at the bottom, but these seeds didn't do that. And so they were kind of looking for the water in the dirt. Well, this dirt is kind of real porous, so it doesn't hold water real well. And so the plants, you know, the water will soak right through there, and then the plants will drink up what's there, and then it won't be anything. And their roots don't go far enough to where they're reaching down into the water. So I sort of have to do them a little bit different, but I think I've got that process dialed in. And so I will... The thing is that with this schedule that they have for these farmers markets, I just about have to start a new crop almost every day in order to be able to keep up with just being able to have a crop to sell. Not saying that they will sell, but, you know, to at least have a crop to sell. And so I have to start one for the farmers market just about every day so that I'm ready for Friday and Sunday and then every other Wednesday. Anyway, we're ready for tomorrow. I got a little bit of paperwork I still have yet to do, create a couple of signs that I want to put up. And then I will water those plants tonight after we get off of here and harvest them. I'm going to get up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and harvest because I have to be out there and set up by 8. Well, out there at 8 to set up for 10. So anyway, that's where we're at with that. Now, the website is up, and I just want to go over this real quick. I was looking for a subscription service that made sense to me, okay? And I didn't actually find it until last night, the one that actually made sense to me, and so I had to go back and redo the site, the logic of the site, so that when somebody comes to the site, you have... you know, you got your home screen here is what we're looking at. And then, you know, it's supposed to basically, I don't have any of like the newsletters or anything up like that. I've been working on the money portion of it. So I have the information that I'm going to use for like the newsletter and for, health tips and things like that. But I don't have it on here yet. I've been trying, you know, my main goal was first to get the logic down for how we're going to, you know, the business end of this. Okay, so if they hit subscribe, and this is still in the works, if they hit subscribe, then it brings them to the subscribe page, okay? And then these are the subscriptions that we're going to be offering. And this is after I, you know, I went through about, I think, 15, 16 sites of people selling microgreens all over the country. And I was looking at the subscription service and trying to find one that, you know, made sense, that would be easy to run and keep track of. And so this one is just based on each month. I had put in, you know, was doing where people could subscribe for like 3 months or 6 months or a year. But, you know, it's really best is what I'm seeing is just have an open end. Because you, mm-hmm. I say they can cancel at any time anyway.
Right.
So being out there for 3 months or saying they're committing to 3 months or anything like that and basing the pricing on that and giving them a better deal if they sign up for 6 months and even better deal if they sign up for a year. I got away from that. And the one that I found mm-hmm. was just selling by the week, biweekly, or once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what you would do is they would come here, they would see which one they want, and this is really just to sort of give them an ideal of what the cost is going to be. If they sign up for monthly, then it's $25 because they're only going to get one delivery a month. Okay, not every week, but one delivery a month. If they sign up for bi-monthly, then that's, what, every 2 weeks. You know, I need to change that. From bi-monthly to bi-weekly. Because bi-monthly means every 2 months.
Right, right.
So,
wow, thank you.
Yeah, so I need to, when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute, that's not saying what I wanted to say. Bi-weekly, they will get deliveries every 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. And then weekly, they'll get deliveries every week. So those are the same, and they're not committed to any length of time, but a month, okay? Now, let's say that they select any of these, they're going to take them to the same place. And what I wanted them to be able to do is I created a screen where they can configure what microgreens they want. And then they select whether they want to do monthly, you know, bi-weekly, and I need to change that because I have it in there as bi-monthly, but I'll change it to bi-weekly. So weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly, okay? And so they would basically come here. They would choose what day of the month they want to receive their greens on. So let's say the first of the month. Then they'll choose the day of the week. I'm going to be doing deliveries on Mondays or Wednesdays and deliver every day of the week. Okay, so the days that I have open are Mondays and Wednesdays right now. That can change in the future. But right now it's Mondays and Wednesdays, so let's say they want deliveries on Monday. Then how often do they want them once a month? And see, it doesn't say biweekly here, it says every 2 weeks here. And then every week. So let's say they want it once a month. Then the other screen, the way I'm setting these trays up, they will get the equivalent of 4 5x5, 5-inch by 5-inch trays. Okay, that's what will be the subscription. So they'll get to pick 4 microgreens that they want delivered. Okay, so I gave them a choice of sort of greens that I'm offering right now. The basic salad mix, the bread and butter mix, which if you go to that page, it'll tell you the bread and butter mix is half sunflower and half speckled pea. Then the broccoli, the fennel grape, the pea shoot, the radish, the spicy mix, which is half radish and half what is that? The salad mix with those 5 greens in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that plus the radish. That is the spicy mix. And the radish is what makes it spicy. okay, and then sunflower. So they can pick which what of these they want. And I'm just going to pick the first, you know, first ones from the list. Because the price doesn't change, you know, based upon what they pick. They get to pick four. Okay. Now, if they buy them separate, because we are selling them as not just, they could buy it from the store, and then let's say they only want, that they just want to buy, you know, 8 ounces of broccoli, then they can do that without the subscription. Okay, they can just say, I want 8 ounces of broccoli, and then I will put in here how it works. But basically, they have to allow, when they order, they have to allow 14 days. If they're going to just order once, then they have to allow 14 days for their order, because it's going to take 7 to 10 days or 7 to 14 days to actually grow it. Okay, and then once it's grown, then it'll be delivered. Okay, but on the subscription, then it also tells them that it, you know, that it takes, they have to allow for the initial order 14 days. And then from that point, they'll receive it, you know, every week or twice a week or whatever they order. Okay. So if you see here, down here at the bottom, I've on this, because it is a subscription service, and I'm charging a setup fee. Okay, and the setup fee is $25. And with the setup fee, which it'll be explained when I put in the how it works section, the setup fee is used to buy a small cooler that will have that they will sit outside their door. And when we go to make deliveries, then we will put those microgreens in those coolers. And we'll put ice packs. So we'll deliver a cooler to them with an ice pack in it. And then when it's time for, you know, when we deliver their first delivery, we'll deliver the cooler with their microgreens in it and the ice pack. When it comes time for, you know, the next delivery, we will bring more ice packs, but they're supposed to sit that same cooler outside their door. And then we, you know, put the new order into that same cooler. So that's what the setup fee is for. Okay. Mm-hmm. So on this, it's saying that they got their $25 every 30 days plus a sign-up fee of, what, $25. So they would initially pay $50.83, and then on December 18th, they would be due another, what, $25. Now, I probably will have to adjust that because it takes 14 days to what, grow. So we'll probably have to adjust this out. But this is basically how it's going to work. So let's say that I have to adjust this day by 14 days to give time for the grow time. Then it would say that their first order is really due, what, around the end of December or the 1st of January?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because we will need 14 days to grow. Well, this is, if they order today, then today is what, 15th to 17th, so it'll be around the 1st of December before they receive their first order. So I will have to play with these dates and have the computer to calculate it that way, but this is what you will basically be seeing. Okay, now, reason why I'm not releasing this right now is because it's calculating correctly right here. But when they go to pay, when they go to pay, it's only charging them the setup fee, which is not right, because it needs to have the setup fee plus the first month. So it should be $50.83 or $50 that they should be paying right now. Okay, so I have to look and see in the logic. Why is it not calculating correctly there? And correct that. So I'm not opening this up, but this is basically how it's going to work. Okay?
Okay.
So they would make whatever, you know, they would make whatever order they want to make. They would submit it. We get it by email. I'll get it in the system on the back end and plus an email saying that somebody ordered microgreens, what they ordered, That would go into then, based upon that, then we would start their trades that day or the next day. And then 14 days from then, they would receive their delivery, so 2 weeks from that time. So this is basically how it's going to work. Okay, any questions there?
Nothing.
Okay. So if not ready yet, after I come from the market, no, tomorrow is Friday, so it's Sabbath. I won't be doing anything until after Sabbath. Then I'll jump back on this and dig into the code and see if I can figure out, you know, where it's doing the calculation and why it's not. It's calculating it right here, but when it's moving over to the next screen, it should be bringing the same information over. And it's not. So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to advertise this until we have it right. Okay, and then I will also add, I have a bunch of information on wellness and health, the health benefits of microgreens, and they're actually amazing. The things that they actually prevent and cure. And so I know for myself, I'm going to be starting a regimen. One of the things that I don't have on here is wheatgrass. I don't know if I'm going to sell wheatgrass, but I know I'm going to grow some for myself. Because wheatgrass itself has about 90 different minerals in it.
Mm.
And is one of the healthiest things that you can actually eat. But the people juice it. So I'm going to already have a concoction that I'm working on with honey and lemon, lemon juice, garlic, some pea microgreens, some broccoli microgreens, and then the fenugreek will be the ones that I put in there. And then when I get the wheatgrass and start growing it, then I will put it in. And then I'll let you guys know how it goes. But as far as juicing for myself and, you know, I want to have my own testimony.
Concerning, and that's for the wheat, just for the what?
Wheatgrass.
The wheatgrass? What about it?
Oh, nothing. I'm just right.
You're
I'm
right.
Writing.
Okay. So that is where we're at on this. I will head out. Like I said, I'm going to be on the road about 7 o'clock in the morning, but I'm going to be up probably about 3, 3:30 so that I can harvest and label everything, pack it up. And then we'll see what we do. Last week I sold, made one cell of microgreens, the radish. But I foresee that we'll do better this week. And then Sunday is the big market. Like this, you know, the weekdays, people are at work. So you got mostly the retirement community.
Right.
On the weekends, you know, that's when the world comes out. So Saturdays are the big market, but I'm not breaking Sabbath for nothing. So,
I know that.
So Sunday is a bigger market than the Friday market. Saturdays are the bigger ones, but no, we're not breaking Sabbath, period. The Most High will make this work on the days that he has provided and still honor his Sabbath. So Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays are the days that I'm committed to right now. Every other Wednesday, this market is every Friday, and then the Sunday market is every other Sunday. And then they have, like I said, each one has four different locations. So once I grow into this and get it down pat, then I was talking to my father-in-law today, and you know, he's willing to go do a stand. My son, I'm not going to let him go out. because he would have to take his son with him, and his son is just all over the place. And so, you know, he can't be out there running behind his son. So I've told him that, you know, I will teach him the back end, and that's what he'll be responsible for. When orders come in, you know, making the trays and seeding them and that stuff. But in the days that, you know, that they were seeded and put on the shelves so that we know when they need to come, you know, be put into the light and then when they need to be harvested and who they're for. So he'll work that end of it. I'll be going out doing the market. My father-in-law will be going out doing the market. And then if it's time to grow into a third or a fourth location, then I will find somebody to do those. And I don't really want to have to make them a contract worker because I don't want to have to pay medical insurance and all that kind of stuff. So they, you know, they'll have to be their own business. And so I'll give them a percentage of whatever is sold. That will be the most, that'll give them an incentive to sell. And because, you know, when you pay people by the hour, you know, most people just sit on their butt as long as they're getting paid. And so this will, if I give them a percentage of whatever they make, then that's the incentive for them to what, sell.
Right.
So that's where we're at on that. Now, let me find these bylaws that we were working on. And I tried not to close it down because I knew I would not be able to find it if I did. And that's exactly what I did, was close it. Give me a hot second here. Any questions on anything so far?
No.
All right. I'm excited because everything that I had ordered, a lot of it was not scheduled to be in until after Friday, but all of it came in yesterday. So 4-ounce clam shells and 8-ounce clam shells. I had 16 ounces already, but the 4 and the 8 came in. My tablecloth came in. I ordered 2 more banners. They probably won't be here. They'll probably come Saturday. And I'll show you those. I'll take a picture so you guys can see how I'm set up. But it looks good. The banner, I ordered a couple of flag banners that stand up higher than the tent.
Uh-huh.
So that people can see that, you know, it just says, I'll put on there, Michael Green. Not really our name. I just wanted it to be able so that they could see what's being sold at this tent. They'll get the company name when they come up to it. But, you know, just so that we stick out. And then I had a banner made that has, you know, the benefit, some of the benefits of what might, too many benefits to put on, you know, a banner. But the overall benefits, I had that, you know, put on a banner that is going to go. The big banner that I got that has, you know, Yesteron Farms on it, microgreens, that goes in the back of the tent. And it covers, all, you know, from the tent to the ground almost, about 5 inches off the ground. But it's a big banner, 8 by 10 banner. The one that I ordered yesterday is a smaller banner that's meant to go in front. That has the benefits of microgreens, and then the flag banners that will stick up above the tent, you know, just have microgreens on it, so that people can see from afar off that, you know, that's what we're selling. So, and I have, you know, I bought enough right now so that when it's time to open up the second site, I can just open it up because I have everything to do it. Third and fourth site, you know, we will have to buy that as required. You know, if we have to move into the third site, then the meaning that we have to move into it means that we're making the money and we can afford to buy the equipment. to open up that, you know, the canopies and the tables and the chairs. I did buy, I found some coolers online. These are some huge coolers. So I'll take a picture of all of this, these particular coolers that I bought. They came in. I didn't expect them to be in for tomorrow, in time for tomorrow, but they came in. So everything we're going to sell is going to be in these coolers. So I had one for last week, but it, you know, I couldn't put a lot of product in it because it's not that big. And I knew that I had seen bigger coolers, and so I went in and found them and ordered them. But I didn't expect them to be in time for tomorrow. But they, you know, they came in yesterday or last night. So, you know, that and the clamshells that I ordered, everything that I was waiting on came in yesterday.
Hmm.
And so I am happy because, you know, now I get to fully set up. I can do this harvest and have enough space to, you know, for all of the product. Now let me do what I was doing. That is not the ones we were working with. That's the older set. Well, you know what? I should better find these right here. They should be in the same place. Okay. Let me go here. So we'll start reading the bylaws now. If there's no questions on anything else that I've said so far.
No.
They're not there. Oh, yeah, here it is. All right. This is a pretty big document. And like I said, my machine has been running slow. Got too much stuff open. And I'm scared to close it down because I might forget what I had open. Just being truthful.
Oh. Well, you take it down and can't find it like me.
Well, that's what happened. Trying to drag these over, so give me a hot second. Okay. All right, so here's our document. Let me make it larger. We're in section 4, right?
Right.
All right, section 4, Board of Directors. I'm going to read in your hearing, and then we will discuss. We'll discuss what's read, and we'll vote on it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And where are my glasses?
Oh,
they need cleaning. Okay, Section 4.01, Empowerment of the Board of Directors. The business and affairs of YFCC, or Yeshuan Farms Co-op, Cooperative Co-op, shall be managed by the Board of Directors, hereafter called the Board. Decisions of the Board are subject to review and recall by the membership at membership meetings or by referenda. The Board is empowered to set policy, administer operations, and take action that they deem to be in the best interest of YFCC, except as limited by these bylaws. Now, we said the Board is limited. The Board can't make changes to the bylaws. We're going to give the Board limited power to change certain sections. Like I gave you a section last week, like section 3 something.
I think it's 3-5.
Okay. And that has to do with membership, right? Dues.
Right.
So we're going to allow them to be able to change the bylaws because the membership dues may change from time to time.
Right.
You know, with inflation or whatever. So they'll have the ability to do that. But what we don't want them to do is to change the basic structure of the organization and what it stands for. So they won't have the ability and we don't want the membership to be able to do that either. Okay, so we don't want the membership coming back and say, you know, we want gays to be allowed. Now, I don't ever foresee that happening, but we want to make sure it don't happen. Okay. The Board and its committees may decide upon the process by which they perform their duties. The Board may establish temporary committees, hire and fire staff, or take action as it deems in the best interest of YFCC and the community. Within the limitation of these bylaws, the Board shall establish job descriptions for staff positions and alter them as necessary. The Board shall have the power to select advisors from the community, and shall seek competent advice in the areas of finance, land purchase, sale, investment management, accounting, and legal information as necessary. In other words, if they don't have the expertise to do something and they need to hire a lawyer, they need to have the ability to do that. If they need the Board needs a secretary, or they need, you know, as we are able to, then we want them to be able to hire and fire whoever they need to get the job done.
Right.
Okay. So they have the ability to make those decisions. Anything that we have given them that we have empowered them to do. Okay. So that was section 4.0.1. Any questions on section 4.0.1?
No.
Okay, I make a motion then, if there are no questions, I make a motion then that we accept section 4.0.1 as read. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, section 4.0.2, composition of the Board of Directors. The Board shall be comprised one representative director for every 25 or any fraction thereof, members living together in a YFCC-owned or leased pod. And we defined a pod since we are doing the domes with the customized shipping containers. Then a pod will consist of 10 domes. So that'll be 10 families or 10, individuals. Okay. So we almost have to have, we might have to reword this right here. And we may have to change the definition for how many domes is going to consist in a pod then. And the reason why I'm saying that is we're saying that we're going to have one representative director for every 25 people. Okay. Well, if you got 10 domes and there's only one person per dome, then you only have 10 people in that pod, and they would not be represented?
Mm.
So we may have to change this number. So we'll finish reading this, and then we'll come back and look at whether we're going to change the definition of a pod. Okay? as to how many families should be there. Or we might change this representative to be one representative for every 10 people. That way we can still leave the definition of the pod the same. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So let's continue. 5 officer directors elected from the membership to be the coordinating officer, the president, the membership officer, the finance officer, the treasurer, the education officer, the secretary, the maintenance officer, and to be officio and to be ex officio voting members of the board. An officer may vote as a representative director of their pod only if they are not voting as an officer. Then that continues in section 4. I think we're going to put that period there. Something either got cut off or, so it says enough right there. So let's vote on these A and B. The board shall be comprised of one representative director for every 25 or any fraction thereof members living together in a YFCC owned or leased pod. So if we have a pod defined as 10 domes, the risk that we run into there, if it's one person per dome, then what we run into is that we only have 10 members in a what, pod?
Right.
And so I'm going to say, I'm going to make a motion that we change for every 25 or fraction thereof, that we change it to every 10. That way we don't have to redefine what a pod is. We can just change it here. Any questions on that?
No.
Any concerns? Anybody?
Are we going to vote?
Huh?
Are we going to vote on that?
Yeah, we are going to vote. But I want to see if there's any objections or if anybody can come up with any rationale why we shouldn't do this.
No, not me.
Sister Denise?
Neither. No.
Okay. Sister Lorraine, you see any reason that we shouldn't change this, the representative to every 10 versus 25?
Nope, I don't have a problem changing that to 10.
Okay. All right, then. And write this section down, Sister Mary, section 4.0.2. We're going to give the board or the membership the ability to change this to a different number in the future. If everything goes as the Most High has shown me, and it will because he's shown me, then when we grow, then this number may have to go back up. Committee, your boards become what, too large?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so this is a section that we're going to give the board and the membership the ability to change. Because this is just saying, this is just concerning what, representation?
Right.
And it's not, you know, dealing with the gut of the organization.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if there are no objections, nobody can see a reason why we shouldn't change this, then based upon the fact that we have defined a pod as 10 domes, and those domes can have, right now there's singular people in them, but they could be, we could build them so that they contain family,
right,
husband and wife and children and those things. So then this can change. So we want to, we're going to put it to where at least the way we're configured right now, that each pod would at least have a what, representative. And then once we grow big enough, then we may need to go back and might need to bring this number back to 25 or 50 or whatever it is.
Okay.
So section 4.0.2, I make the motion that we accept it. Oh, no, I make the motion that we change director for every a representative director for every 25 to a representative director for every 10. Or any fraction thereof.
Okay, well, I second if that's what you asked.
Yes. Sister Mary, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.0.2 is amended to read director for every 10, a representative director for every 10 members or a lease pod. And the five directors we already have filled, I being the coordinating officer, which is the president, Sister Lorraine being the membership officer and the vice president. I'm the finance and the treasurer right now. The education officer is, that's you, Sister Mary, isn't it? As the secretary, yes. And
yes.
The maintenance officer is Sister Denise.
Right.
Because she likes working with her hands.
Yeah.
All right. So I make a motion that we accept 4.02, composition of board directors, as read. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.0.3. Selection and recall of primary representative directors. Each cooperative pod may choose directors by whatever means it sees fit. In other words, whoever's going to represent a particular pod, 10 families or 10 members, they will come up with how they choose that their representative. We're not directing them with how they choose it, but however they choose it, they got to let the board know. However they choose them, okay? So each cooperative pod may choose directors by whatever means it sees fit. A pod shall consist of between 1 and 10 individuals, cooperative domes. The pod shall notify the board of its representatives and the means by which they were selected immediately upon their selection. If a board member no longer retains the member status by which they were selected, they are immediately removed from their board seat. So, if they don't maintain, you know, whatever means or whatever standard that their individual pod came up to elect them as a representative, if they no longer, let's say that they leave or they move to someplace else and they're not a member of that pod anymore, then they lose their seat on the board as a representative for that pod immediately. Board members may be recalled by whatever means they were selected. So that's why the pod has to tell us we selected them by a majority vote. Then if they're going to remove them, then they have to remove them by what?
Majority
vote. However they did it. That's why they have to notify the board and tell us how they did it so that if they say, well, we, you know, they're not doing their job. They're not doing what they're supposed to do, yada, 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 and we want a new director, a new representative, then how did y'all vote them in? Then y'all need to have y'all pod meeting and a majority of your members need to vote them out. Okay. Same way that you voted them in is the same way you got to vote them out. The board shall be notified immediately of any changes that occur in this manner. Any questions?
None. I don't have any.
Concerns?
No.
No questions or concerns? Then I make a motion that Section 4.03, Selection and Recall of Primary Representative Directors, be accepted as read. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.03, Selection and Recall of Primary Representative Directors, is adopted as read. Section 4.04, Alternate Representative Directors. A cooperative pod may select a number of its members equal to the number of its primary representatives to act as voting alternates in the event that its primary representative cannot attend the meeting. Alternates may only vote while the primary director is absent. The pod shall notify the board of its alternates and the means by which they were selected immediately upon their selection. Voting alternates may be recalled by whatever means they were selected. The board shall be notified immediately of any changes that occur in this manner. Alternates serve for 2 years. So nobody is an island unto themselves. And, you know, anybody can get sick. They can have, appointments. They can have other things they need to take care of. So we need to have alternates for the, primaries?
Right.
The alternates cannot vote as long as the primary is present. The primary must, you know, if there's any business being conducted for that pod or on the board, then the primary is the only one that can vote. The alternate would vote in case, would have the power to vote in case the primary could not make it. Is there any questions on that?
No, sir.
All right, and they serve for 2 years. All right, so I make a motion that section 4.0.4, alternate representatives of directors, alternate representative directors, be accepted as read. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right. Section 4.0.5, seating of the board of directors. Only seated board of directors or alternates may vote during board meetings. Coordinating committee shall in each the coordinating committee shall in each board packet include a list of all seated board members and alternates, the date they were selected, and the means by which they were selected. If a pod fails to notify the board of the appointment of a primary director or an alternate prior to distribution of the board packet, the board may vote to seat the primary slash director or alternate if and only if the primary slash director or the alternate provides their name, role, the date of selection, and the means by which they were selected. So it pretty much speaks for itself. Only the seated board directors or their alternates may vote during a board meeting. I've already said that in the previous paragraph that the alternate can't vote if the primary is there, so they don't get two votes for one or two votes in a particular thing. Only the primary vote will count. Then the coordinating committee, which will be the committee that I chair, will provide in each board packet, including a list of all seated board members and alternates, the date they were selected, and the means by which they were selected. That way, you know, all of the board members know who's authorized to be there and who's authorized to what vote. That'll be in the packet. If a pod fails to notify the board of an appointment, then we can choose at the meeting to accept primary director or the alternate when they provide their name, the role that they are being there, whether they're the primary or the alternate, the date that they were selected, and the means by which they were selected. So they have to provide all that, or else we don't seat them. They don't get a chair at the table. They can't help in the decision-making process. Anybody have any questions on A, B, or C?
No.
Okay, I make a motion then, if there are no questions, no concerns, that Section 4.0.5, seating of Board of Directors, be accepted as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.0.5, seating of Board of Directors, is accepted as written. Section 4.0.6, operation of Board of Directors. The business of the board shall be to enact at meetings, except any action that may be taken at a meeting that does not require a meeting. If a written statement setting forth and approving the action to be taken is signed by all directors entitled to vote on such action. So in other words, what this is saying in plain English, that the board can take an action that they normally would do at a meeting if everybody is informed about it and agree on it, then they can do it outside of a meeting. But it has to be in writing. Okay. Such consent shall have the same force effect as a unanimous vote at a meeting. So let's say that I call a meeting and say, hey, we got a situation here. We need to handle it. And it's not, you know, it's not time for a business meeting. So this is like an emergency meeting. And this is the circumstances. This is the action that I think we need to take. We still need to, what, discuss it and then hash it out and then vote on it. But we're not in a, what, official meeting?
Right.
Okay. And if we do that, then it'll be the same as if we had had a meeting, is what this is saying. Such consent, if we all agree, then such consent shall have the same force and effect as the unanimous vote at a meeting. So this, I can only see this being used in emergency situations.
Right.
Okay. Other than that, then we should be waiting for a normal meeting to, you know, to conduct business. But, you know, life happens and situations come up. And so this will govern how we proceed. All right, so that's A in that. B, the board shall meet at least once a month. Notice shall be given in person or in writing by the coordinating officer at least 72 hours in advance of a meeting. Attendance at the meeting constitutes waiver of a notice. So if, you know, if you didn't get a notice and you showed up at the meeting, you found out some kind of way. So you can't come in and say, well, I object because I didn't get a what, notice?
Right.
You're already there, so what you, you know, what are you objecting to? Quorum at board meetings shall be greater than half of the directors of the director's position. So quorum means that's what the amount of people that it takes to hold the meeting. So if we have five directors, quorum would be three. That would be enough. Not unless we put in writing and say it must be four directors or all five directors have to be there. But quorum usually means that a majority. Okay. So it says quorum at a board meeting shall be greater than half of the directors. If we have five, what's greater than, what's half of five?
Three, two and a half.
Two and a half. We can't do two and a half, right?
Nope.
Nobody better not show up at half a person now. So we need at least three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that would be a quorum. If we, let's say that we have, the board goes six members, then quorum would then be what?
Three.
Uh-uh. Three. Read what that says. They'll be greater than what?
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
They'll be greater than half. So quorum would then be four.
Right.
Because three would be half. Everybody understand how that works?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Voting by proxy is not allowed. So you can't call somebody and say, hey, what, vote for me?
Right.
Can't do that. You can send your alternate. But you can't say, Brother Miles, on this issue, I want to vote this way. I say, if you want to vote that way, then you need to be here. Or send your alternate, because you can't vote by proxy. However, sealed ballots on the question are permitted. So you can send it in what, writing?
Okay, right.
You can send it by writing, but you can't just call somebody and say, I need you to vote this way for me.
Right.
Okay. The board shall follow the Rogers Rules of Order, and I provided those to us earlier. We have them on the website. But, you know, they govern how we what, conduct ourselves,
right?
How we make motions, how we second, and do all that kind of stuff. All meetings of the board are open to any interested members. Those who come shall have a right to speak on issues. They have a right to speak. They're not a member of the board, so if they find out something is being discussed, they can attend. We're not shutting the door to what, anybody?
Right.
in these types of meetings. Now, we could call an executive board meeting.
Right.
Then only the executive can come. The members can't come to that. But these normal board meetings, then anybody can attend, and they have the right to speak on the issues. Only authorized primary directors or their alternates may vote, though. So just because you can attend the meeting doesn't mean that you have a right to what?
Vote.
Any questions?
No.
Concerns?
No.
All right.
No.
I make a motion that Section 4.06, Operation of Board of Directors, A through FG, be accepted as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.0.7, chairing the board of directors. The board is chaired by the officers, each officer serving on a rotating basis. The board, and so just because I'm the coordinating officer, the president, doesn't mean that I always have to, what, chair the board?
Right.
So each one of us would take a turn chairing the what, board?
Board.
That means that you're running the board. You're running the meeting. That means you have to know how to run the meeting. It's part of your responsibilities because it, what, rotates. Okay. The board or its committees may elect alternate chairperson. The default for each named officer to chair the corresponding committee. Any questions on Section 4.0.7? Chairing the board of directors.
No, sir.
Okay. I make a motion that we accept Section 4.0.7, chairing of the board of directors, as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.0.8, discussion of inclusion and inclusiveness. At least once per year, the board will discuss the rate of success achieved on the multicultural diversity of our pods. In other words, even though we're a Hebrew Israelite community, we don't want to say Gentiles can't join. Okay. As long as they're agreeing to the same standards that are written in Acts chapter 4, verse 28-32, and they're agreeing to share all things equally,
mm-hmm.
then, and they're agreeing to abide by the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High,
yeah.
they're agreeing to abide by the same rules that we're, then it's open to anyone. Now, if their lifestyle is, like we say, LGBTQ, then they're automatically ruled out because their lifestyle would say that they are an abomination to the laws of the Most High and to the Most High himself, therefore to us. So they would not be allowed to. So, but we're to review this, and when I'm saying review it, we're looking at our makeup. How many Hebrews do we have? How many Gentiles do we have? If we say how many Israelites, then we couldn't go by that because by the law of the Most High, once the stranger agrees to abide by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High and to live by the same standards, then they are to be treated as what?
Equal.
One in the land. They are to be treated as a homeborn, as though they were born in the land. And they shall have to abide by the same law. There shall be one law for the homeborn and the stranger. Okay, so they become Israel. They choose, you know, if they're male and they haven't been circumcised, I don't know where brother going to get that job, but you have to check.
Amen.
Is the brother in compliance? Is the stranger in compliance? because this is, you know, people will be like, oh, that's personal. This is a law. And I've known brothers who said that they were Hebrew Israelites and then came back and said they weren't circumcised. I said, well, brother, you know you shouldn't be taking part of the Passover or any of those feast days because the law says that you have to be circumcised. Part of Passover and all that stuff. Being uncircumcised. So I just said, hey, you know, you're going to do what you have to do. But if you come here, you can't do that. Point blank. All right, so those are the laws of the Most High. He did not change those laws in the New Testament. He did not do away with circumcision. He said that the Gentile doesn't have to be circumcised to be what?
Israel.
Nope. Words are important. Don't have to be circumcised to be saved. To enter into the kingdom. But then after they enter into the kingdom, if they want to keep the Passover, does the Passover require you to be circumcised?
Yes.
It does. So as they learn, then they have to do what? Better?
Uh-huh.
So, but getting into the kingdom doesn't require being circumcised. Now, if they want to become part of Israel and they want to keep the Passover, they want to keep the feast days, then there's laws concerning that as well, and they must do that. But now for salvation, everybody who believes in Messiah don't want to be Israel. And when we look at the kingdom, does it say that everybody that's in the world is Israel?
No.
It doesn't. The nations, all the nations are required to come to Jerusalem, what, once a year?
Mm-hmm.
For tabernacles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But they're not, that didn't make them necessarily Israelites. But they are up under the kingdom of the Most High. Okay, so we have to stay within the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so anybody that's joining us, if they don't want to keep Passover, if they're a Gentile and they don't want to keep Passover, I'm gonna say, why are you joining us? Because you're not really wanting to be one with us. You can't bring the world in here.
Hmm.
Okay. So if that's how they're feeling, then they don't want to be part of us.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So, but if they do, and they agree to keep, you know, everything, then we want to meet once a year and have a discussion on how are we doing with, you know, membership and, how, you know, what are we made of and what seems to be our growth pattern. Because we also want to, you know, area that we definitely want to make sure that we start growing in, young people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to all just be old and what, die out?
Right.
You got to have young people. Okay, and so, and we're not, but we're not going to bend the rules to get young people. That's not how that's going to work. The Most High will send those who understand and know that they need to keep the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
And abide accordingly and understand that they will be held accountable. Can't just come in and just do whatever you want to do and then, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, they're young.
Oh.
You'd be like, oh, well, there's a road. Okay, so, you know, we have to raise a righteous generation. And you got to start someplace. So, section 4.0.8. At least once per year, the board will discuss the rate of success achieved on the multicultural diversity of pods, hear presentations on the plans of individual pods, and review the progress made in this area. Now, we're not going to set any goals at this point, but in the future, we want to make sure that we're not doing to them what they did to us.
Right.
Okay. And so we will look at that. Now, these rules were written because in most of the community co-ops, there were not a lot of people of color. And then we have our own, you know, concerns and things. And from what I've read and what have you, then, you know, prejudice and everything else, they would want us to, what, act like them?
Right.
And you know, so a lot of us weren't members of these cooperatives, but we are adopting the same standard, but we want to make sure that everybody that's coming in, whether they are black, white, green, yellow, red, Puerto Rican, Mexican, Hebrew, whatever the case, that they understand what the requirements are and they are agreeing to them. And if they agree to them and they abide by them, then they are welcome. If they come in and prove that they said one thing and are doing another, they'll find how quick they will be gone too. Okay, so not doing any of that two-faced stuff, that double talking and all that stuff. Or, you know, you put on this face and then here's your true face.
Right.
Yeah, no. You know, we have measures in place to take care of that. And it can't be by the witness of one. One person can't come with a complaint and say, oh, this person's acting this way. What does the law require?
Two or three witnesses.
Two or three witnesses. Okay. And the matter shall be established. And then we will take the appropriate action, whatever we deem as necessary as the appropriate action. All right, so I'll make a motion that we adopt Section 4.0.8, Discussion of Inclusiveness, as written. Do I have a second?
I second.
I second.
All in favor say, or is there, yeah, all in favor say aye?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 4.0.8 is adopted as read, written and read. Section 4.0.9. Denial of power to amend these bylaws. The board is denied the power to amend these bylaws. And I want to amend this right here. I want to say, except where allowed, the board is denied the power to amend these bylaws. Anybody have a problem with that wording?
No.
Because we're giving them sections that what they can amend,
mm-hmm.
that the board can amend. Once these are part of the articles of incorporation, then it's gonna it's gonna take a major act to what change them.
Right.
And we are not even giving the board of directors the right to amend the bylaws. Okay, except where they have been given permission to. And we're going to have a section in here that says these sections the board can make changes on. But it won't be anything, like they can't take out, that you don't have to comply with Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 38, or 26 to 32, whatever one is in the bylaws. They can't change that. It's going to be something they cannot change because that is the foundation of the community. So you can't change that. So okay, so that That sentence has been changed to the board, except where specifically permitted, is denied the power to amend these bylaws. I make a motion that we adopt this section as modified. I make a motion that we modify this section to say, except where specifically permitted. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Now I make a motion that section 4.0.9, denial of power to amend these bylaws. The board, except where specifically permitted, is denied the power to amend these bylaws. I make a motion that we adopt section 4.0.9 as modified and read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. The section 4.0.9 is adopted as read and modified. Section 5, officers. Section 5.0.1, election of officers. Officers shall be elected annually for one-year terms to begin June 1st. Now, we can change this date before we make this official. I don't have a problem with this date. This date has actually no meaning to me. So, anybody have a problem with June 1st?
No.
Okay, so we'll leave that date there as is. Officer nominations will be taken at the general membership meeting occurring between February 1st and March 15th at both of any two of the board meetings during the same period. So there's a board meeting supposed to be every month. So that will be three board meetings. So nominations could be taken, what, for the board at any of those meetings? Nominations for board members. The coordinating officer and member services coordinator will ensure that the taking of the officer nominations is an agenda item for each meeting and ensure that the officer descriptions are distributed for each agenda, with each agenda. No petition will be required to start the annual ballot vote on new officers. So the coordinating officer and the member services coordinator, the president and the vice president, will ensure that the taking of officer nominations is an agenda item. So in February and March through March, then we should be asking, provided that we have the membership, does anybody want to be on the board?
Right.
And take nominations. Okay, and then we will have to, we have a description of what the duties are. And I don't know where that echo would be coming from. Sister Denise, do you have your speakers on?
You got your speakers on.
Yes.
Okay, that your speakers are causing an echo.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Okay. All right, so we shouldn't have an echo anymore. Is there an echo, Sister Lorraine? Since you were the one hearing the echo. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I see you talking, but I don't hear anything. Oh, did my speaker go off? No. All right, say something again. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
I can hear you.
I can hear you now. Do you still hear an echo?
I do.
You do? Sister Denise or Sister Mary, do you guys hear an echo on your end?
No.
I don't hear one either. So where are you hearing an echo from? Sister Lorraine, go out of your room and come back in.
All right.
All right, testing 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Do you still hear an echo?
Well, I can understand.
Okay. All right. So let's proceed then. let's see, where was I at? The coordinating officer and member services coordinating will ensure that the taking of officer nominations is an agenda item for each meeting and ensure that the officer descriptions are distributed with each agenda. No petition will be required to start annual ballot vote on new officers. So we don't have to have a petition go around accepting with the nominees.
Right.
We just put them on the ballot. If you are want to keep your position, if let's say that I want to stay the president or whatever, then I would put myself up as a nominee.
Right.
If somebody wanted my position, then they would put themselves on the nominate themselves or whatever, volunteer to be what, the president. And then it would be the vote would go out to the membership. But we don't have to say, well, you got to have so many members before you can like, you know, if you want to run for public office, you got to get so many signatures.
Right.
We're not, you know, that's a petition, and we're not doing that, okay?
Okay.
So if somebody, so I make a motion that anybody got any questions? Is there a seat? Hold on. We still got a lot more paragraphs here. Section C, the member services coordinator with the officer nomination and evaluation committee. We don't have that committee yet. We'll seek candidate statements during and after nomination and ensure that the ballots go out by 14 days after the third meeting. So the third meeting is in March. So 14 days by the 15th of April or the 14th of April, then the nominating and evaluation committee are supposed to have these statements out after the third meeting by 10 calendar days after the ballots are distributed. The member services coordinator will collect the ballot and announce the results. Therefore, officers will be elected by ballot no earlier than the 1st of April and no later than the 15th of April. So the third meeting would be March. 14 days after that would be the 15th of March. By 10 calendar days after ballots are distributed, member services will collect the ballots and announce the results. So people basically have 10 days to vote. And then, between the 1st and the 15th of April, people vote. And then by the 15th or the meeting after that, then the winners will be announced by the vice president. As the vice president is a member services coordinator. Any questions on that paragraph?
No, sir.
Okay. Any concerns?
No.
No concerns. Subparagraph D. Each ballot will contain a space for abstention, absentee, and the following question. Do you think this ballot reflects different views on the issue with reasonable fairness? Okay, so if we have issues that come up, then on any given thing, do people always agree?
No.
And do people have different views?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So we want to make sure that the issues are discussed and that all the views are what represented it.
Yeah.
With reasonable fairness.
Reasonable fairness.
Okay. The vote shall be considered valid unless more than one-third of the voters answer this question in the negative. In other words, if one-third of the membership thinks that the views haven't been covered with reasonable fairness, then you don't have a vote on that issue. Because apparently there's, what, more questions?
Right.
And because that haven't been brought up. And this is a way for people to speak out and let that be known. Some people might, you know, be bashed for whatever, and they don't want to speak in public or say something in public, but they'll put it down on paper, especially if they think it's anonymous. But if one-third of the people feel that way, then that matter, the vote shall be considered valid unless more than one-third of the voters answer this question in the negative. Now, we don't think that the ballot reflects the different views on the issues with reasonable fairness. Okay. And then we would need to open that back up to the membership and say, okay, people don't think that this has been represented correctly or in fairness. Here is the issue at hand. Here are the views or the, you know, the arguments at hand. What more do you want to add to it? Okay. Along with staff, all incumbent officers are required to meet with newly elected officers and train them to their elected positions. So the people who are already in office are supposed to meet with the newly elected officers and what? Give them a handover.
Yeah, let them know what's happening.
Right. This is what we're doing. This is what we've been working on. These are the things that, you know, you should be concerned with. This is what is open business, so forth and so on. Give them a handoff. Okay, and train them on how to do the job. Newly elected officers are required to shadow the incumbent officer to at least one committee meeting between the 15th of April and the 15th of May. So within their first month of being elected, they need to shadow whoever's in that office that they just got elected to at least one board meeting. So they can, you know, say, you know, this is how business is conducted, yada, yada, yada. Are you familiar with the Rogers Rules of Engagement? You can't just jump up and say you got an objection. You know, there's certain ways you do this stuff. And so they should give them the rundown. In the event of a vacancy in any of the elected offices, the board shall appoint a person to fill the vacancy until the next membership meeting, at which time elections shall be conducted or nominations for officers shall be taken to be voted on as a referendum. So life happens. Let's say Brother Miles dies in office. We got a vacant position. The board can appoint a member or appoint somebody to that office at the next membership meeting, or take what nominations for the office, and then there will be a vote taken, like a normal election. Or if they have a vote, you know, we vote that Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so take Brother Miles' place until the next election. So more than likely, they would vote whoever the vice president is into the what, president's spot?
Right.
And so forth. Okay. And that would have to be voted on by the membership. The board accepts the advisory vote of the membership unless a vote of at least 80% of the full board rejects any officer. So the membership might say, hey, this is who we want, but the board has had issue with this person. And 80% of them, if there's five members, that means that four out of five don't want them. Then they have the right to reject them. The membership would vote again only on the rejected officers, with the results subject to the same board review, a board power set in law, in state law. So this is state law. This is not, because we still got to abide by the laws of man where we have to. And state law says that this is a power that the board has. So if 80% of the board say, no, we don't want Brother Jones as the president, and they got their reasons, and the membership voters said, hey, we want Brother Jones as the president, but 80% of the board said no, they're the ones that have to work with him. The state law says that they have that power to do that. We can't undo that. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. In June, the officers shall register as official officers of the corporation with the Arizona State in the manner described by law. So anybody, just like I register all of us as officers on the board of directors for YFCC, when I made the corporation, in June, whenever elections take place, anybody that is replaced, or if we're all replaced, then those other members have to be put on the corporation by law of the Arizona, by Arizona law. Keep the original people on there. Because we are, in effect, not running the corporation. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Officers shall be type A members. We know we're going to do what with this?
Change it or delete it.
We're going to delete it. So we don't have any type members anymore.
Right.
Okay. So I make a motion that section 5.0.1, subparagraph I, election of officers, that we delete subparagraph I, officers shall be type A members. We don't have type members anymore. We voted that we would not have type A, B, or C members.
Right.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay.
I second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. So I'm going to take that out now. That being said, I make a motion that section 5.0.1, election of officers, accept it as read and amended. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 5.0.1, election of officers, is accepted as written and amended. Section 5.0.2, recall of officers. Recall of officers shall take place only by a board vote of at least 80% of the full board, with no objections allowed, or by any advisory vote at a regular or special membership meeting, or by referendum, and only by a majority vote. So the board accepts any advisory recall vote by the membership unless at least 80% of the full board rejects it, with no objections allowed. So what are we saying here? If we want to recall an officer, meaning that we want to recall Brother Miles because he ain't doing what he's supposed to do, how many percentage of the board has to agree?
The majority.
What does it say? It's written.
One third.
Are you guys reading with me on the screen?
Oh, no.
Good grief. What are y'all doing, pulling stuff out the air?
You're going to get a majority vote.
majority vote. We was trying to figure out, Brother Mike.
Nope, we're reading section 5.0.2. Let me make sure everybody's
right
on the same page with me. Read the same thing I'm reading.
80% of the full board.
All right, 80% of the full board without what?
Without rejection.
With no objection.
With no objection.
So if we got five members on the board and four of them say we want to recall this person, but the fifth member say they don't want to,
right,
then they can't recall the member.
Right, because they don't have 80%.
No, they have 80%, but they got an objection. Let's read what it says. Recall of officers shall take place only by the board vote of at least what?
80% for board.
With no objections allowed.
With no objection allowed.
So if somebody objects, if the fifth member objects, if it's five members on the board, that means four of them makes 80%, right?
Right.
Four of them want to replace this member. The fifth one says, I don't. The fifth member would have to, what, abstain? Okay, y'all want to do that? I'm just not going to say anything. I'm not going to object to it. I'm not going to go for it, but I'm not what? Objecting.
I'm not going to go against it either.
Right. So then they could proceed. But if that person speaks up and says, I object, then you can't do it.
They can't do it.
Right. I just want to make sure we understand what's written. Because this is what we have to abide by.
Yes, sir.
Okay, with no objections allowed. Or by an advisory vote at regular or special membership meetings. So we could bring it up as a special thing, and then the membership could vote on it. Or by referendum, and only by a majority vote of the members. The board accepts an advisory recall vote by the membership unless 80% of the full board votes to reject it. With no objections allowed. So 80% of the board says we don't like that, but still one member of the board says I object, then the board can't reject it. What the members want, that's what happens. Are we clear on that?
Yes.
Because I want to make sure, you know, when we vote on it, if it happens, then, you know, we have to govern ourselves by these what rules?
Mm-hmm.
And we got to make sure we understand them before we say what yes. Okay. So I make a motion. Are there any questions on section 5.0.2? Recall of office.
No, sir.
Okay, and everybody understands that it takes at least 80% with no objection.
Yes.
And the membership, an advisory vote, so an advisory board could be established, and the advisory board with an advisory vote with the membership, the majority of the membership, they could say, okay, we want to recall this officer. But the board can accept an advisory recall by the membership unless 80% of the board what?
Agree.
They vote to reject it.
Definitely.
Right. So we're just reading exactly what's written. 80% of the full board votes to reject it. So the membership, the majority of membership say, yeah, we want to recall this person. But then 80% of the board what? Rejected.
Oh, okay.
But if one, you know, if you got five members on the board, four of them say we reject it, If one objects, then even the board is what, overridden?
All right.
They got to do what the membership wants because one of the board members don't agree?
Right.
Okay. So that one member was asked to say, you know, I ain't going to say nothing. I abstain. Or I no vote. Whatever. They're going to go along with the what, majority? With the 80%?
Right.
But if they make a formal objection, then the board can't, then the board is overruled, and the board is forced to do what the membership wanted. If the board wanted to reject what the membership wanted on the recall, and one member on the board says, you know, I object to your rejecting this, then the board can't overrule the membership. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Then I make a motion that Section 5.0.2, recall of officers, be accepted as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
You know, y'all saying that kind of weak.
I second.
No, I'm just saying. It's like, you know, we second him, but there's some doubt there somewhere.
No, we cool.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Now, again, now this is an area I know that we're going to have to work on, officer stipends. And the stipend is what is paid to an officer for their service to the community.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, what is the problem with that?
Well, the officer might not be performing his duties as he should, for one thing.
Right. Yeah, but we got a major problem, even before that. What is the main tenet of our organization? We all have everything what?
In common.
In common and equal, right?
Right.
So what stipend are we going to pay somebody?
Right.
Because everybody's money goes into the same pot.
Right.
So we have to look at this, and we have to look at this as to how do we compensate or recognize, and I think it will have to come in the form of recognition. It's almost like the military. In the military, you know, if you're a certain rank, everybody at that rank gets paid the same thing. And you can't just give somebody money for their performance. And you can't just give them a promotion unless it's like a time of war on the spot. So the way the military does it is they do it through recognition. Whether it is some type of award, is some way to recognize the person for the job that they're doing. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah.
So since we can't pay, you know, I don't see a way where we would be able to pay any one of us to do this job because we're all putting in our money, and we all got everything equal and in common. So a stipend, a reward, a payment, you know, doesn't make sense here. And so, but we do need to find some type of way to address this, because nobody wants to feel like, you know, we're all used to working for something. And this may not even have a place in the organization. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So this is an area that we need to talk about, because, you know, if everybody was paying rent, if we were all paying rent, and all the rent wasn't coming out of a central fund, then we could say, oh, well, your rent for the time that you're on the board is reduced by 75% as your payment, you know, to the community, you know, as a payment from the community for your service. But we don't have, you know, everybody's coming out of the same pot, so we don't have that. So let's just read this. And what I need is for you guys to be thinking about some type of system or some type of way that we recognize people for the work that they do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Officers in good standing receive a stipend that is equal to the average rent of a single occupancy room and food in YFCC. Because remember, we don't have rent. We have a note, and everybody's money is going toward that what note? So it means that you don't pay rent on your place. But we've all agreed that we would put in whatever money we have into the general fund. And then the general fund goes for to pay for housing and food and all that stuff. So each of the two co-officers will each receive half or 0.5 of this amount. So let's say that we were charging rent. See how this works so we understand what we're saying, and then how can we possibly replace this or come up with a system that recognizes the individual for their service. So officers in good standing receive a stipend that is equal to the average rent of a single occupancy room. So let's say a room was, we're going to make this easy to calculate. Let's say a room was $100 a month. Then, and that was a single room. And then let's say what food was $75 a month for a single person. Just making up numbers, just so that we can have something to play with. That's $175. That's what the officer would get. They would get. We would pay them $175. That would be. Now they may have a family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their rent may be, if we were doing it that way, let's say their rent was $400 a month. If they were getting $100. Then their rent would go down to $300, and if their food was $250, it would go down to $125, something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, and that would be the stipend that they would be paid, and then their alternate would get half that amount. So if we were giving them $175, their alternates would get like $85.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The pod of any officer in good standing shall receive a rent decrease that is equal to average rent of a single occupancy room and food in YFCC per officer. Each pod of a co-officer will receive 0.5 or half of the amount per officer. The decrease is applied at the end of each month. Any amount in excess of the officer's rent and any YFCC debt shall be remitted to the officer upon request. So they don't have to accept it, but if they request that they got their stipend, then they were supposed to, what, get it?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So if we got all things equal and in common, and we're not paying monthly rent, and we're not paying for groceries, not paying for electricity, then this really has no place in the organization. Does anybody see a problem with that? Have concerns?
We're taking it out.
We're taking it out, or do we see where? First of all, we just need to discuss this and make sure that we're all on what, the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's got a concern, like, well, you know, I want to be paid for what I do, that needs to be brought up.
Right.
Okay. So as our community is organized right now, we all have all things equal and in common. We have all agreed to take whatever money we have, and it's not the same for all of us, but whatever money we have, we're putting it in the general fund, and it's going toward the rent payment on the housing, is going toward the food production, toward the utilities, and all that. It comes out of that general fund. Okay, so we can't technically say that somebody's paying what, rent?
Right.
Did anybody understand us operating differently?
No.
Okay, so we're all on the same page that we were all having everything equal and in common.
Yes.
Okay. Then I'm going to say that this paragraph, 5.0.3, that we either delete it or we come up with another way to recognize individuals performing these jobs.
Well, can we just restrict it for now until we figure out what, you know, have to
restricted how? You mean table it?
Well, yeah, table it and vote on it later.
Okay, well, we have a motion that we table section 5.0.3. Do we have a second? I second it.
I second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 5.0.3 is tabled for the moment with the understanding that it does not apply to the way that we're doing business and that we need to find a way still to recognize individuals for their service to the community in this capacity. Okay?
All right.
So section 5.0.3 is tabled until further notice, and we will come up with a, and everybody needs to be thinking about this, you know, what can we do? We can't pay somebody right out because we all are, everybody's giving their money equally, and then can't say, well, we're going to give you some back because that takes away the everybody giving their money. And then what would you spend it on anyway? But never mind, that ain't my business. But the bottom line is we'll table that and we'll come up with some type of, as I said, in the military, they use what they call like awards and decorations. And so different things that you would get recognized. But again, that may not work even in this environment because we don't have like a promotion system or anything, excuse me, like that. But we'll see how we can address this. It's tabled for right now. Section 5.0.4, officer description. The coordinating officer, the president, is the official representative of YFCC in its relationship to all other organizations, presides over all membership meetings, chairs the coordinating committee, and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated by the committee, including distribution of agendas no later than the Saturday preceding the meeting and the meeting notes for inclusion in the next board of directors agenda. With the finance officer and the membership officer has custody of YFCC's money. Not one person controls the money. Performs such duties as the board may from time to time direct. Submits written reports on the accomplishments of YFCC at each general membership meeting. Is the official liaison to YFCC to independent cooperative pods and cooperative business. with the assistance of the education officer, organizes training for the board of directors and onboard responsibilities and process. Chairs the personnel committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated by the committee, and is a member of the Social Justice Center, whenever we get one, of the board of directors, along with the YFCC non-officer representatives on the Social Justice Board of Directors, representing YFCC at Social Justice Committee or Social Justice Center Board of Directors meetings, and keeps the YFCC board informed of social justice issues. That is, social justice is the board that handles complaints and any type of you know, justice that's what be metered out.
Yeah.
So if somebody is acting up or they're breaking the rules or the laws, and it's, you know, it's been established and it's brought to the Social Justice Center, and it is addressed there. Okay. Maintain general contact with accessibility to the members of YFCC. This includes attending membership meetings and other events, visiting pods for dinners or meetings, and responding to emails and phone contacts. Now, if we have, you know, this latter one, we should have email capability, even though we're remote. As I said, I will establish an inter-community network where if we don't have internet, which we should still have internet from last time I was up there, but we will, as a minimum, we will have a community network where, you know, you can get emails and stuff internally from the community. But most of the time I'm going to say, you know, we'll have that because people are used to it, at least some of us. But with being such a small community, probably just going to meet and see everybody every day anyway.
More than likely.
More than likely. But as we grow, that may not be the issue. So we'll leave this, you know, I'm going to say we leave this in here because things still need to be done in what, writing?
Right.
If somebody has a complaint or whatever the case may be, it still needs to be done in writing. And if we have a, you know, we're not trying to get rid of modern conveniences. We want to be able to function without them if we have to. But as long as we have the ability to use them, we might as well what, continue to use them.
Yeah.
You know, so if push comes to shove and the worst happens, and let's say all communication goes down in the world because, you know, there's war or whatever, then we need to be able to be set up to function without it.
Right.
But yeah. as long as we have the ability right now, we ought to continue to use it. Okay, so that goes along with electricity or, you know, even though we're going to have electricity, should we lose electricity for whatever the reason, we have to be able to, what, survive without it?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, because that's, you know, one of the whole purposes for establishing a remote community is that the conditions in the world will be such that we may not have electricity. Then we need to know how to cook and survive and all that stuff without it. Mm-hmm. We may not have access to food, so we need to be growing our own. You know, we need to be self-sufficient.
Right.
So, you know, but until it gets that bad, then we, you know, we should still use any modern convenience that we are able to use. And then when it's no longer available, we have to also be able to function without it. So we'll leave these in here for right now. But, you know, when, you know, if everything hits the fan and we lose electricity, we probably lose phone service, then these things would not be possible. So then we still need a backup way to what function?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's by letter or by, you know, word of mouth, whatever the case may be. Okay, so that is subparagraph 11, A11. So I'm going to do it this way. Section 504, officer description. Section 504A, 1 through 11 is about the coordinating officer, the president. Are there any questions on the duties of the president?
No,
sir.
And everybody understand that the official, whoever's the president, they represent, they're the official representative for the community.
Right.
So the vice president can't go out and without the president's permission and be what, claiming to represent the community?
Right.
Or the maintenance officer or any other member. When it comes to officially where the community stands, that's in the president's office. Okay, so we have to make sure that people coming on understand that as well. Everything decent and in what?
Order.
And in order. The membership officer or the vice president chairs the membership committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated in Section 605B. Now, we need to see what's in Section 605B to make sure that it lines up with what we're talking about. Let's see how good Sister Lorraine was.
Mm-hmm.
Section 5. Now, first, I got to find Section 6. Section 6, 05, there is no B. So we need to read this and find out where it is, where it's in reference to in here, because there is no Section 605B. Everybody understand
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So it may be 606. There's an A and a B there. So we'll see. Okay?
Okay.
So the membership officer chairs the membership committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated in Section 605B for the committee, including distribution of agendas no later than Saturday preceding the meeting and the meeting notes for inclusion in the next board of directors agenda. So let's see what Section 605B, Section 6. Committee. The board may establish any standing or ad hoc committees as deemed necessary. New standing committees shall be affirmed or rejected at the next meeting by the membership unless otherwise provided. Committee chairpersons shall be appointed by the board or elected by the members of that committee. The board is expected to define quorum for committees that it forms. Powers of the committee. No, 60, what am I doing? Need to be in 605.
Mm-hmm.
606. 606, standing committees. The coordinating committee shall consist of all YFC officer quorum. For the coordinating committee is greater than half of the members. It shall be responsible for executing documents and taking actions on various matters as required by the board of directors or by law. Facilitating the board's decision-making process, review project, membership committee. So we need to amend that to say Section 606B. This is talking about membership, and the vice president is the membership coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what this is talking about. The membership committee shall consist of one pod membership coordinator from each pod, the membership officer, and any additional members approved by the board. by the quorum of the membership committee is 5 members of the committee. The committee shall be responsible for filling YFCC membership diversity. This is all talking about membership. Let's go back up here, and that's 606. If that's talking about membership, that falls up under the membership officer. Does everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
So this is section, we're going to amend this to say from section 605 to 606B.
Okay.
All right, so section 606B, let's go back down to section 606. B, and B is talking about what? Membership. So that would be what it's in reference to. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. I make a motion that we modify section 504B, paragraph 1, to be changed from 605B to 606B. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. So, Chairs the membership committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated in section 606B for the committee, including distribution of agendas no later than Saturday preceding the meeting and the meeting notes for inclusion in the next board of directors agenda. Perform such duties as the board may from time to time direct. Monitor and enforce the YFCC diversity and outreach policies. Has primary responsibility for the overseeing of membership staff and contractors, with the coordinating officer and finance officer has custody of YFCC money. Submits written reports on the accomplishment of the membership committee at each general membership meeting. Performs the duties of the coordinating officer in the event the latter's inability to do so. So right there, that gives the vice president the permission or the authority to act on behalf of the president if the president is incapacitated. Does everybody understand that paragraph to say that?
Yeah.
Okay. With the assistance of the education officer, organizes orientation for new members of YFCC and educates members on fair housing laws as it pertains to membership process. Is primarily responsible for overseeing conflict resolution between members. Maintains general contact with and accessibility to the members of YFCC. This includes attending membership meetings, other events, and visiting pods for dinners or meetings, and responding to email and phone contact. Okay. So I make a motion that section 504B, subparagraphs 1 through 10, any questions on the duties of the vice president or the membership coordinator, which are one and the same?
No.
No.
Okay. With that being said, I make a motion that section 504B be accepted as amended and read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I heard one aye.
Aye.
Okay. I'm just saying, because I would have said, hey, the no's have it. The ayes have it. Section 504B is amended and accepted as is accepted and amended as or is accepted as amended and read. What time we got? We're at 8:31. We got about 20 more minutes. The officer, the finance officer, the treasurer, chairs the finance committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated in section, and I'm going to say this is going to be 606C. Mm-hmm. We'll go down and check it, but the other one was 606B. I think it's covering the same stuff for the finance officer in 606B. We'll verify that. I'm going to make the change right there, and then we'll confirm it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Chairs the Finance Committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated in Section 606C for the committee, including distribution of agendas no later than Saturday preceding the meeting and the meeting notes for inclusion in the next Board of Directors agenda. Is primarily responsible for overseeing finance staff and contractors, with the coordinating officer and the membership officer has custody of YFCC's money. Performs such duties as the board may from time to time direct. Submits written reports on the accomplishment of the finance committee at each general membership meeting. With the assistance of the education officer, organizes education for members on the YFCC finance. Reviews payroll records and reporting unexplainable errors to the finance committee. Reviews YFCC financial transactions, including payments of bills and invoices, and signs checks and conducts online payments as needed. Has primary responsibility for the overseeing of finance staff and contractors. Maintains general contact with the accessibility to the members of YFCC. This includes attending membership meetings and other events, visiting pods for dinners or meetings, and responding to email and phone contacts. So let's go down to 606. Subparagraph C, 605, 606B, C. The finance committee shall consist of one representative. So we were talking about finances. The finance officer, this applies to what we were talking about then. Does everybody agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. The finance committee shall consist of one representative from each pod, the finance officer, the finance coordinator, and up to two additional members approved by the board. Quorum for the finance committee is five members of the committee. Board members are encouraged but not required to sit on the committee. The committee shall be responsible for developing an annual budget for YFCC, regularly studying and evaluating YFCC's overall financial position, ensuring the accuracy and completeness of the YFCC pod book and pod budget, setting standards for accounting systems, collections and rebate practices, and for making recommendations on financial matters as requested by the board. I can't wait until we get a real accountant. So that really should be somebody that has done this as a, what, as a profession?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm not a professional accountant, but I'll fill in while we have to. All right, so I make a recommendation. We've already changed it from 605C to 606C. So I make a recommendation. I'll put it on the floor that we accept the change from section 605C to 606C. Do I have a second?
I second.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. I make the motion that section 504C, finance officer / treasurer, be accepted as amended and read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 504C is accepted as amended and read. The maintenance officer, D, the maintenance officer, chairs the maintenance committee and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties delineated in section, I'm going to say that we changed this to 606D, because everything seems like everything is in that paragraph or in that section. For the community, including distribution of agendas no later than Saturday preceding the meeting and the meeting notes for inclusion in the next Board of Directors agenda, oversees the books and records of YFCC maintenance program, sees that pod maintenance needs are assessed yearly and that the maintenance committee plans, coordinates, and implements YFCC maintenance program. With the assistance of the education officer, organizes education for members on the maintenance skills and projects. Submits written reports on the accomplishments of the maintenance committee at each general membership meeting. Performs such duties as the board may from time to time direct and has primary responsibility for overseeing maintenance staff and contractors. Maintain general contact with and accessibility to the members of YFCC. This includes attending membership meetings and other events, visiting pods for dinners or meetings, and responding to email and phone contacts. Let's go down to 606D. Talks about the maintenance committee. So that is, we'll read it, but the correction to that is appropriate. The maintenance committee shall consist of one pod maintenance coordinator from each pod, the maintenance officer and the maintenance coordinator, and any additional members approved by the board. Quorum for the maintenance committee is 5 members of the committee. The committee shall be responsible for setting standards for the repair and improvement of YFCC-owned buildings, assessing the maintenance needs of the YFCC pods, drafting long and short-term maintenance budgets, and implementing and evaluating the progress of all maintenance projects. Okay, so back up in 504D, the maintenance officer, I make a motion that we adopt the correction to from 605D to 606D. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. I make a recommendation on the floor that Section 504D, the maintenance officer, be accepted as amended and read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 504E, the education officer, the secretary, has primary responsibility for ensuring the fulfillment of YFCC's purpose of educating its members about cooperative principles and the management of the cooperative housing, chairs the education committee, and shall be primarily responsible for the tasks and duties of that committee, including addition of agendas, no later than the Saturday preceding the meeting and the meeting notes for inclusion in the next Board of Directors agenda, has primary responsibility for oversight and distribution of education budget, is responsible for the minutes and records of the YFCC and for maintaining such records and for making such records available to the members, in addition to the education materials of YFCC, including the YFCC library and archive. Has primary responsibility for the overseeing of the education staff and the contractors, assist the officers, other officers in fulfilling their education responsibilities, submits written reports on the accomplishments of the education committee at each general membership meeting, performs such duties as the board may from time to time direct, maintain general contact with accessibility to the members of YFCC. This includes attending membership meetings and other events, visiting pods for dinners and meetings, and responding to email and phone contact. All right, we didn't make any corrections there. There was no subsection 606 for the education officer. So I make a motion that we adopt section 504E, the education officer, as written and read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 504E, education officer, is accepted as written and read. Section 601, establishment of committees. The board may establish any standing or ad hoc committees. Standing committees are permanent committees. Ad hoc committees are committees that we may come up with in a meeting. Everybody understand those two meanings or definitions?
Yes.
Okay. As it deems necessary, new standing committees shall be affirmed or rejected at the next meeting of the membership. Unless otherwise provided, committee chairperson shall be appointed by the board or elected by the members of the committee. The board is expected to define quorum for the committees that it forms. Powers of the committee. The committee of the board, the committees of the board serve in an advisory capacity to the board, except when delegated certain powers by the board. So in other words, they are advisors unless they're given what, power to do something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Section 603, decisions at committee meetings. No decisions will be made at YFCC committee meetings without quorum. Although all committees and committee meetings are open to any interested person or any interested members, only members of the committee in question have a vote. Any questions on section 601, 2, or 3?
No.
Whew. Okay. Sounds like we're getting tired.
Sleepy.
I don't know, Sister Nisha, you always yawning. Even when we first start, so. 604, representative at committee meeting. Houses having 10 or fewer members, we need to change from houses to pods. Having 10 or fewer members, specifically pods having an occupancy value of 10 or less, are not expected to send representatives to membership, finance, education, and or maintenance committee meetings, but are expected to send written statements of their views on the business at hand for each meeting. Houses having more than 10 members, and that needs to be changed to pods, and we're not voting on these because these are just administrative changes. Having more than 10 members, specifically pods having an occupancy value of more than 10, are expected to send representatives to all membership, finance, education, and maintenance committee meetings. So where there are 10 members in a pod, then they're required to attend. They're required to have representation, and those representatives are required to attend the appropriate committee meetings. Any questions there?
No.
Okay. So I make a motion that section 601, 602, 603, 604 be accepted or adopted as read and written. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 601, 2, 3, and 4 are adopted as written. 5, report to board of directors. All committees shall make regular reports to the board. Section 606, standing committee. The coordinating committee shall consist of all YFCC officers, quorum. I think we only have to read A because we read B, C, D, and E, or B, C, D, and E earlier. We have to read F as well. We didn't read F or G. So we read these other ones when we read section 504.
Yeah.
So we will do A, we'll skip B, C, D, and E, and then we'll read F and G. All right?
Okay.
Standing committees. The coordinating committee shall consist of all YFCC officers. Quorum for the coordinating committee is greater than half of the members. It shall be responsible for executing documents and taking action on various matters as required by the board of directors or by law, facilitating the board's decision-making process. reviewing projects, programs, and resolutions, making recommendations to the board, and maintaining WAFCC policy manual, hearing debt and contract appeals, and is empowered to make decisions on such matters as the board in the board's stead. Records shall be kept of decisions made by the committee and furnished to the debtor members upon request. Now, this may not be applicable, and I don't think it is, except for when we have somebody that stops contributing their income as they are promised, then that would probably be taken up right here. Does anybody agree or disagree with that?
I agree.
Okay. It sounds like Sister Mary. Anyone else?
Yes. I agree.
Okay. I got to make sure because, the one that's coming back later saying, I ain't understand that. And you, Sister Lorraine?
No, I agree.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to make the motion that Section 606A be accepted as read and written. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. We will skip section, I'm going to make the motion here that we accept section 606 B, C, D, and E as read earlier. We didn't find anything in there that when we read it that we opposed or questioned. Nobody, said, well, hey, wait a minute. So I'm going to make a motion that we adopt Section 606 B, C, D, and E as previously read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. Section 606F, the Officer Nomination and Evaluation Committee. Now, we don't have this chaired yet. Somebody that's going to keep track of, that makes sure that the officers are, number one, well, we'll read these duties, doing what they're supposed to do, and then when it comes to elections, they're to make sure that those officers are qualified to do the job that they're running for or trying to run for, so forth and so on. So the Officer Nomination and Evaluation Committee shall consist of all non-officer members of the board. Unless the committee is one of its other members as the chair shall be the committee member having served the longest on the board. The chair is primarily responsible for ensuring that the committee fulfills its responsibilities. The committee shall be responsible for nominating officer candidates and initiating officer appointment and election procedures whenever a vacancy in an elected office arises, assisting the member services, let me just put a space there, coordinator with the annual ballot vote on new officers and other ballot or referendum votes on officers, evaluating the performance of officers, and determining the extent to which each officer is an officer in good standing and eligible for a full stipend. So the stipend portion of this will probably not be applicable unless we vote it in or whatever we replace it with. So I'm going to say we put a period right here for the moment. And this is subparagraph F. To make it easier, I'm going to make it subparagraph F1. So if we vote, then we know that this is what we're talking about.
Okay.
And eligible for a full stipend for each calendar month, reporting stipend eligibility determinations to the finance coordinator within 24 hours of the termination, reporting all ONEC decisions and concerns to the board at the first opportunity, and initiating recalls of consistently and initiating recalls of consistently underperforming officers. So we can actually do this. We can take, starting here, and here. All right, so that leaves anything having to do with a stipend, standalone.
Mm-hmm.
And when we make, because we tabled the stuff about a stipend, whether we're going to vote it out or whatever we're going to come up with to replace it, whatever we come up with, if whatever system we come up with, it will still fall up under the ONEC committee.
Right.
Whatever we do. But what I have done is set anything that has to do with the stipend as subparagraph 1, F1, and then if we choose to vote it out, then we can just delete what, subparagraph 1?
Right.
Because it won't be applicable. Or whatever we choose to put in place, then we can modify subparagraph 1 to include that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to make a motion that 606F, that we amend it as written on the screen. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. And then we need to put a note. Do you have that paragraph number, Sister Mary, by chance? Yeah, we said we were going to table.
504.
Was it? It wasn't all 504.
It was the 503.
And let's go back up.
For the offer stipend.
Right.
Which right. One? We put that at the table.
Yeah. What paragraph was it though?
Oh, I don't know what paragraph it was. I thought it was the whole 5012. Who I get on it? 503. Because I didn't think the
503. Yeah, you're right. It's 503. No, you don't have to be confused. It's just the whole 503 section. But that's why I was asking you. But you're right. It's 503.
That coincides with the 606F?
Yes. 606F1.
Okay.
So, yeah, 606F1.
One. Gotcha.
Okay, that way we have it in there, and we know that when we make a determination on Section 503, then when we go back over this again in the bylaws, we know that, or in the minute meetings, what have you, we know that we also have to address one.
Okay.
Section G, what time we're at, 8:55. Let's do G and we'll call it a night, okay? The Personnel Committee shall be chaired by the coordinating officer and consist of 4 other members appointed by the board to 1-year terms expiring at the first board meeting in September. Okay, the Personnel Committee shall be chaired by the coordinating officer and consist of four other members appointed by the board to one-year terms expiring at the first board meeting in September. No more than one member from a single pod may be appointed, aside from the coordinating officer. No officer may be appointed. The board is encouraged to be inclusive of marginalized and underrepresented people, groups, when making appointments to the committee. So let me read this again, because I'm not even hearing what I'm reading. I'm not. I was like, it was a bunch of jibber-jabber. All right. The Personnel Committee shall be chaired by the coordinating officer and consist of four other members appointed by the board to one-year terms, expiring at the first board meeting in September. No more than one member from a single pod may be appointed. No more than one member from a single pod may be appointed. Aside from the coordinating officer, no officers may be appointed. So, in other words, on the Personnel Committee, the only board member is really who, the coordinating officer?
Okay.
And the rest of the people are coming from the pod. And no pod can have more than one member of this board. No officer may be appointed. The board is encouraged to be inclusive of marginalized and underrepresented groups when making appointments to the committee. We will look at that statement, marginalized, and I still think we can meet this statement, because marginalized could be the elderly, it could be the youth, it could be anybody that we accept. What we're not including in this is where they had defined marginalized as being what, somebody that was gay, a part of the LGBT community, or a person of color, because we took that out.
Right.
Okay. So, but marginalized, somebody, people may not be respecting the elders, or people may not be respecting the young, the youth. Then we can say that they're what, underrepresented?
Right.
Or marginalized, we can use them in that capacity. So I think we could leave that as it is. Or it could be, if we're majority people of color, then marginalized could be somebody that was what, Caucasian?
Right.
Okay, so it works where it's at. All right. The Personnel Committee will meet once per month with additional meetings as needed. Quorum for the committee is three. It shall be responsible for conducting annual employee reviews, maintaining personnel records, handling complaints about staff members, posting job openings, accepting applications, and screening applicants. It seems like that all the stuff that was up under the membership. But we have to go back and review that. All hiring and termination decisions shall be referred to the board of directors or the appropriate committee. Upon appointment, committee members shall undergo training in the areas of employment law, fair hearing practices, employee confidentiality. In addition, outgoing committee members are encouraged to help in on the duties of the personnel committee. All right, so only thing that I have in question here on this one, does anybody have a problem where it says that no officers may be appointed? So that aside from the coordinating officer, which is the president, no officers, that means the vice president, the maintenance officer, the secretary, the education officer, no other officers that are on the board may be appointed to this committee. Anybody have a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with it.
Mr. Mayor said, you already got enough to do, huh? all right, if nobody has a problem with it, I make a motion, I make a motion that we accept this, but that we make sure that paragraph 2, for the duty, as far as some of these duties seem to be overlapping with the membership officer, that we review that and make sure that we don't have an unnecessary overlap.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to make a motion that we adopt these as written with the caveat or with the understanding that we will review the duties of the membership officer, and where they overlap, we will delete them from the personnel committee.
Agreed.
Anybody?
A second.
We have a second on that. Anybody disagree with that? Membership officer, you think we should move those overlapping duties to you, or should we move them to the personnel committee?
Ooh, who are you talking about?
The personnel officer would be Sister Lorraine.
Oh,
I agree.
Wait a minute. You agree with what? That they should be moved to you or moved to the personnel committee?
I'm sorry?
What are you agreeing with?
I'm agreeing to what you're recommending. That.
Okay. I got you. So any overlapping duties that are under the membership officer, if they're overlapping here, they will be moved. They'll be deleted from here after the review. Other than that, we're going to accept them as written. Anybody, all in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right, so I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In that one section, 606, do you need to take out that amended date?
Yes, we can delete that because it's not our amended date. So this is an administrative change. This is part of the original document. I don't think we need to vote on it. We're just going to delete it because it's not our amendment date. We didn't do this in 2015? Everybody understand that?
Yes.
So it's just an administrative change, so we're just going to delete it. Amen?
Amen.
Done. All right. So I make a motion that we adjourn. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anybody want to stay?
No.
The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. We will meet again on next Thursday to continue the review. And Sister Mary, you are heading back on the 19th?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So then I'll look forward to the minutes from all the meetings while you were out of town so I can review them and then we can vote on them.
Okay.
All right. We will pick it up in section 607. No, I think there's a new section coming up. Tupac. Yeah, we'll talk about this one. I think we tabled this one before. I don't think we're going to have a Tupac section. I really don't. But we will talk about it. Read it and talk about it and see if we feel like we need it. All right. With that being said, Sister Denise, if you will pray us out.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this meeting. Thank you for understanding. And thank you. Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. With that being said, this meeting is officially adjourned. I will see you guys on tomorrow for Sabbath. I don't know what the lesson will be on. Y'all will have to give it to me. I have no idea at this moment. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, saints. Shalom.
Shalom.
Have a good night.
You also.